Welcome back to the OU Daily Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Sunday, the 14th day of the month of Cheshvan. I hope that each of you had an amazing and restful Shabbos. Thank you to all of our wonderful and generous sponsors for their continued support and whose names are prominently listed in the daily OU Tehillim email. To sponsor future programs, we greatly appreciate all of your support. Please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. And please note that the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi David Schwartz of Shaarei Tefillah in Providence, Rhode Island, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Schwartz slowly reciting our daily three chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130. There's a link for those in the email as well. It will be followed by the Mishaberach Lecholim and Achenu. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Schwartz to learn more about his wonderful community in Rhode Island. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker. Bechavod, with great honor, Rabbi Schwartz.
Thank you, Rabbi Herman. Birshus. The pasuk that we learned yesterday, Parshas Lech Lecha, after Avraham Avinu is told that he is going to have a son and is taken outside of Sfor HaKochavim, he should go and count the stars. And his children, his offspring will be as numerous. The pasuk says, "Min ba Hashem vayachshavei lo tzedaka," that Avraham Avinu believed in Hashem, and that was considered for him as a tzedaka. Rashi and the Sforno both learn here a simple approach of "Min ba Hashem," that he believed in Hashem. As the Sforno writes, "Batach shi'ase mashamar bli safek." He believed that Hashem was going to do what he said, without a doubt, even though the Sforno writes it was against nature. Even though hadavar nimna urachok etzel hateva, it was hard to believe it according to the natural order of the world, and Avraham Avinu believed, and that was vayach shevel lo tzedaka. The Sfarno says Hashem considered that bitachon bo litzedaka uzchus for Avraham. It was a tzedaka. It was a zchus. It was a merit for Avraham. That is how Rashi and the Sfarno both learn this pasuk. The Ramban is very bothered by this. And he asks, "Lama lo yamin? How could? Why wouldn't he believe? Hashem is telling him. Hashem bechvodo va'atzma. Hashem himself is telling Avram that he's going to have children. Yes, he might be older than the natural order would allow for him to have children, but Hashem is telling him he's going to have children. So why should he not believe? Lama lo yamin? Why should he not believe? I'd like to try and understand where Rashi and the Sforno are coming from in these brief few minutes, and to allow for some a practical piece to throw in here from Rav Dessler. That is that we tend to set bars and standards for ourselves. We have this picture in our minds of what is considered the job of a Jew. And any accomplishments that we make within that framework, within that view that we have, the picture that we have, oftentimes it fits into this picture. Take, for example, a person is working on going to Minyan. He views when he makes it to Minyan, he doesn't view that as a zchus. He doesn't view that as a tremendous accomplishment. That's the job of a Jew. That's what I'm supposed to do. There are 613 over there. I'm supposed to try and work towards accomplishing it. He looks at it as a normal thing. A person works on his kavanah in davening, and he is matzliach. He's successful one day and having wonderful kavanah in his Shemona Esrei. Let's say he works on the first bracha, the first few words. He has kavanah. He doesn't necessarily look at that as wow. He says, looks at it as, well, yeah, there are 18 other brachas that I didn't really have kavana for today. I'm still working on it. Person's working on making his brachas with kavana. Person is working on a chesed, bringing flowers, bringing cookies to Bali Simcha in the community, making a meal for someone who just had a child. Person looks at that as, that's my job. That's part of what we do. So it's hard to, when we have that picture in our minds of what we are supposed to be doing, and every accomplishment that we make fits into that picture. Rav Dessler says, in two sentences I'd like to read, in Chelek Hei of Michtav Meliyahu on page 264, he says that the concept of Sameach Bechelko, being happy with our lot, says, Tzarech lihiyos gam beruchnius. That concept also should exist in the spiritual world. Our spiritual accomplishments, we should also have a feeling of sameach bechelko, of being happy with our lot. Now, I've often heard that sameach bechelko, have been happy with your lot, that applies to the physical world, to the world olam hagashmi, the material world. I should be happy with what I have. But in the world of ruchnius, in the world of spirituality, I shouldn't be happy with what I have. I should be striving to accomplish more and more. Rav Dessler says, no, there has to be this component of sameach bechelko, happy with one's lot, also in the spiritual world. Lo shetechzer chas v'shalom ha-she'ifa la'alos, Rav Dessler says. Not chas v'shalom, that we should not be having our ambitions, our aims to grow higher and higher. Ela she'yakir gam kein ha'se'erech v'ha'simcha. But we have to recognize the value of what we're doing, and there has to be a simcha out of what we're accomplishing. That's the sameach bechelko in the world of ruchnius. Not impeding us from growing more, but recognizing the value of what we're doing and appreciating that and allowing ourselves to feel a simcha when we do have accomplishments in that world. Very important lesson for ourselves, very important lesson for in the world of chinuch, those who are teaching children, those who have children in the home, that a child makes every accomplishment that a child has in the world of ruchnius. There has to be that sameach bechelko, there has to be that recognizing the erech, the value of what he or she is doing, and allowing them to be besimcha over it, not telling them that's your job, not the feeling of, well, that's my job, of course I have to do that, there's nothing great that I just accomplished, that's my job. In our community here, than the pre-K, I assume in many communities, you have the pre-K, the pre-1A, whatever it's called, kindergarten classes in your community, that they bring in mitzvah notes. Mitzvah notes, it's an opportunity for a parent to recognize small things, the basic mitzvahs that the children are doing around the house. So we see from Rav Dessler over here that mitzvahs should not be stopping at grade pre-K or kindergarten. They should be going. They should be going on. They should continue into the child's teenage years, and they should even be accompanying us into our adulthood. The concept of these mitzvahs, the concept of recognizing the erech, the value, and feeling a simcha over that which we are doing. Mitzvah Hashem, everyone you're listening, we should be zoche to continue to grow. To be content, not to be satiated, not to be done with our avoda, but as we are doing that, we should be zoche to feel the simcha through that, all the small things that we do accomplish. We'll now go to reciting Tehillim together. I'll start with Perek Chaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor le David, Adonai ro'i lo echsar, binoteh she'yar bitzeini,
Hinei lo yonum ve lo yishan, shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha, ayad yeminecha. Yomam ha-shemesh lo yakeka, v'yareyach balayla. Adonai yishmarcha mikora, yishmar es nashecha. Adonai yishmar tzitcha v'lecha, me'ata v'yad olam.
Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shemalos v'mamakim chesicha Adonai, Adonai shima v'koli, tiyen oznecha kashuvos v'kol tachanunai, im avonos tishmaya, Adonai mi yamod, kimcha aslicha v'man tivarei, kivisi Adonai, kivisa nafshi v'dvaro cholti, נפשי לאדוני, משמרים לבוקר, שמרים לבוקר.
Echel Yisrael al Adonai, Kim Adonai HaChesed, Vehabeim Ofedus, Ho Yitkes Yisrael, Mikol Avonosav, Mishabelach Avosein, Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, Moshe Aaron David Ushomo, Yivarech Hira Piesach Olim. Babush means Hazim Babura, because I call for who is Malayaham Navayam Lakhzim Lak or Samahazikam Lakhayosam Mishakahem and Ava for Shlim and Ashamayim. So Shaykhala Yisrael for Sanefesh Rahua Sago, Fashtaba Agalav Zankariv, and Amar Amen. Achenu Kobes Yisrael and Sinbetarabi Shivya. Om din bein bayam ovein bayam basha amakim rachim alayim yotzim mitara lirvacha meafil al dara mishu vishibud gula hashta ba'agala vizman kari v'namar amein.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schwartz. What a beautiful concept of a mitzvah note that doesn't just stay. I write them daily, but our daughter is going on to school in early childhood, but what a beautiful concept, and it's really something to think about. You know, in today's world, it could be a text, it could be a WhatsApp, it could be various ways, it could be just words, but constantly sharing such a beautiful thought and one's continued growth. So we're going to transition now to the next segment of our call, an interview to find out a little bit more about you and your community. But first, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
Doing good, hanging in there. During these times, they were still living through, and the family is doing great. The community as well is Baruch Hashem really staying very strong, being tremendously compliant to the guidelines that the governor gives to the leaders, and the leaders then translate it down to the community. So thank God, it's a wonderful community. There's been a lot of achdus through this time.
Chassidei Hashem, we're certainly happy to hear people are doing well and following the guidelines, and that there's been achdus. So to get us started, for our listeners, I've never had this chutz, I've never had the opportunity, and perhaps post-COVID, if you'll invite me, I would love to come out to Rhode Island to see Providence with my own eyes. But if you can give us somewhat of a background, if you could share with us about the shul and the community overall, that would be great.
Sure. So there's been a day school, a very strong day school that's existed here for many, for over 60 years. And it's, it has around 130 children in it, around 30 girls in the high school, half of them coming and boarding in our community. Coming from the mostly from the New York, New Jersey area, the community there's probably 80 to 100 Shomer Shabbos families in the community. There are a few shuls. There's a very nice infrastructure for such a small community. There's a yeshiva gedola in the community where Bachim come from, also from out of town, to dorm in yeshiva. And they have a setup also with a college, with Providence College. It's a very, very warm community. You are more than welcome to post-COVID to come here, and they're a very welcoming community. A lot of achnasas archim, a lot of chesed. There's an eruv. There's a mikveh. There's a chaver kadisha. There are a lot of the basic necessities for Jewish community to run.
Amazing. And have any new families moved in at all throughout COVID or during the summer?
Definitely not through COVID. The past few years, we have not been having a lot of new families come in. There is somewhat of a challenge that we face here with the real estate, not competing with the Midwest communities. The real estate is there's a better opportunity to find in the real estate than a lot of the communities in New York, New Jersey, and Boston, which is less than an hour from here, but it's not the same type of type of numbers as you, when you go to the Midwest out-of-town communities.
Got it. Last question for you. With the world changing so much, we've been talking about COVID here. There's change, and there will continue to be change in our communities and how we operate, obviously, on the most surface level of wearing masks and social distancing and following the guidelines. But also we've seen innovation, especially online, through Zoom and other types of portals of being able to reach people. But when we think about the Jewish community as a whole, when you think about your kehillah, your shul, what communal changes do you anticipate for where we are now and perhaps even thinking beyond and post-COVID?
So where we are now, like you said, that, like, you know, with the restrictions, then things have been challenging. There's been a lot of strength that our community has shown in terms of working together, working on figuring out Eitzes, how to make things happen. We, a few days before Rosh Hashanah, then we had no idea where we were going to be able to fit our shul with the social distancing guidelines. We were looking into outdoor tents. Brown University is in our community. We were looking at their parking lots. And we figured out that we worked it out in the shul. We had an outdoor minyan across the street in my backyard as well, to be able to accommodate everyone and where they were holding, in terms of what they were comfortable with. We did end up using the brown lot for Simchas Torah for the Hakafas, so we were able to use a huge brown lot to be able to spread out and the people dance in their own families, in their own space. We are looking forward to getting back to normal, hopefully on higher levels in terms of our commitments and what people are going to be interested in doing in the shul, the Korman shul, which Baruch Hashem has always been a strong point in our kehillah. It's easier to do that with social distancing and with masks on. But I anticipate that we'll go back to the wonderful decorum that we've always had as it is now. It's not the Zoom classes. We are still doing that. We still have not been doing, besides for drasha on Shabbos and a few exceptions. But the shiurim that we have that go on are still on Zoom. The participants still are generally more comfortable with that format, rather than coming in as a kollel here, a kollel-based medrash in the day school that used to be the center at night for the base medrash. People come and learn. That is a struggle now. We do have middle school boys where that base medrash was always a beautiful place for them to come at night and learn Mishnayos together. And there's a strong group of middle school boys this year also that, I was just talking to a parent that is desperately hoping that we're going to get back to that and somehow be able to be that place again. The energy definitely is not the same though. I've spoken to a lot of my colleagues in different out of town communities, and we speak a lot about it. We struggle with the fact that there's not the same energy in the shul. And we don't have a kiddush on Shabbos after a shul, which was a real important thing for our kehillah, for the social components of our kehillah, which we have not had in over 7 months now, which is definitely challenging. The base medrash, we have Shabbos afternoon, a very lively base medrash in the summer. Friday night, Mr. Shemar is starting this coming Shabbos. It's going to be a little bit different, but we have people coming back to shul and learning in shul and chalent. And that energy, it's much more challenging when you have to take into consideration all of the, if we serve the chalent and then you take the masks off and people in the same room, will it make some people uncomfortable? Do we want to go there? So there's a lot of different challenges trying to navigate these times. In the long term picture, then we're hoping that we will be able to go back to create an energy when we do come back. And that social component, which it's very difficult for Rabbanim to tell people, you know, like we don't want you hanging out and socializing and doing things. I met with someone who was interested in coming into our kehillah, a young lady who's in medical school, who has never davened in an Orthodox shul before. I met with her over the summer, and I said, unfortunately, then now is not really the time for you to come and become acclimated into our kehillah. He said normally if when you come to shul there will be a number of women coming and crowding around you and offering you a Shabbos Suda, offering you to sit next to them, and they'll show you the place in shul. Now, unfortunately, then that's not going to be the case. So that is definitely a challenge that we're facing. We're hoping that things will change soon, Mitzvah Hashem. But in terms of long-term differences that will be noticeable, other than the chizuk that everyone has tried to gain, and even just coming back to shul after a tkuf, after a period like this, coming back to shul, still coming to shul every Shabbos is itself a wonderful thing, and I think everyone is building their own spiritual strength as they're doing that. But in terms of noticeable changes that we're going to see in the shul, I can't give you any creative ideas that I foresee.
Understood. Well, listen, Rabbi Schwartz, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with the picture of your wonderful community in Providence. And really, it seems the hallmark is tremendous achdus that you've seen in the community. As they are with all Klal Yisrael of the entire world, our thoughts and our tefillos, our prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. And I'll just add that the challenge that you're experiencing now is one that shuls and communities are experiencing really throughout the world, but certainly here in North America. I've had similar conversations with rabbinic and lay leadership throughout the country, Canada, and other areas, where we're trying to find that fine balance. You talk about the challenge of where's the line in keeping to the guidelines and keeping safe and healthy and all, but while also providing opportunities. We're human beings, we're social beings, and these social interactions are so important. And the lockdowns and the isolation has certainly made it much, much more challenging for us to be able to interact with others, and it's really something that we're craving. But again, like everything in life, it's finding the right balance. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and refuah for all those in need will be answered, latova for good, and may our bonus olam, the master of the world, speedily bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, Monday, at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, the words of inspiration from Rabbi David Wolkenfeld of Anshei Shalom B'nai Israel Congregation in Chicago, Illinois. This concludes today's call with hearts full of faith. Stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic. Wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.